Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast. We launched this podcast back in November of 2013, and this is episode 272. I'm your host, Jeff White from virginiasports.com, and my guests this week are two of UVA's most talented student athletes. During the second half of the podcast, we'll talk to Trey Murphy III, who's been a major factor in the men's basketball team's 5-0 start in ACC play. Right now, we're joined by Kate Douglas, who's been shattering records in the pool ever since she arrived at UVA in 2019. For listeners who need a little background, Kate holds school records in four individual events: the 50 freestyle, the 100 freestyle, the 100 butterfly, and the 200 individual medley. And she's part of a relay team that has another school record. She has two ACC records to herself as well. She's part of a third with a relay team, and she's only a second year. Kate, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
Good. Well, first of all, congratulations are in order. Earlier this month, you were named to the U.S. national team in the 100 butterfly. Did this selection catch you off guard at all, or were you expecting it?
Yeah, I don't think they usually add swimmers to the national team in the middle of the year like this. They usually do it, I think, back in like August. So it was definitely an unexpected surprise, but it's definitely been a goal of mine for years now. So it's super exciting for that to finally happen.
How much of notice did you get before the release went public? Did you get a call from the national team, or did you find out about the same time everybody else did?
Yeah, I got an email, I think, the morning that they announced it all. So, yeah, I had no idea. I remember I sent the email to my mom and I was like, do you think this is real?
What does being on the national team entail? Does the team come together and train, you know, the way other national teams do?
Yeah, there is a training camp, I think, at one point in the year, but I don't know if it's like as big of a deal as other national teams, because it's hard to probably go to it when you're like in college training and taking classes, but you definitely get a lot of perks to be part of the national team.
Such as?
At meets, I think you get probably like special treatment when it comes to looking at video reviews and other things like that.
Are there any national competitions planned or international ones in the spring? I know obviously you're busy with your college schedule and other members have their commitments too.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple national meets over the summer, but I don't think anyone knows really who's going to those yet.
At this time last year, you were planning on competing at the Olympic trials, which ended up being canceled because of the COVID-19 pandemic. In 2016, you qualified for the Olympic trials in four events, I think. Did you actually go and compete that year in those events?
Yes, I did go in 2016.
How old were you then, 2016? What grade were you in?
I was 14, I think. It was eighth grade, maybe. Ninth wow. grade, maybe. Yeah, I was pretty young. Definitely one of the youngest there.
What was that experience like?
It was definitely very nerve-wracking, and it was pretty lonely too, because I was the only one from my team who went. So it was just me and my mom and my coach there. I didn't know anyone. So it was just very overwhelming and scary to be among like the most elite in the sport. Well, I was just a little 14-year-old.
How did the swimming portion of it go?
I can't remember exactly. I don't think it was great, but I think I like swam my times. I think I was just there for the experience though. It didn't really matter how I did in my races.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I'm guessing you'll be better for that experience the next time you go there.
Yeah, no, definitely. I remember when I was there, I was looking at all the college teams like coming in all together. And that's what I'm like super excited about for this time around, just being able to go as part of a team. That'll make the experience just, I think, so much more fun and exciting.
Speaking of the team, you and your UVA teammates are off to a great start this season. The women are ranked number 2 in the nation. You're coming off a decisive victory over Virginia Tech. You were missing your head coach, Todd DeSorbo, for that meet because he was out due to COVID issues. Was it strange competing without Todd being there?
Yeah, it was definitely strange also because we had practiced for a week without him there, but Our other coaches did a great job of stepping in his place, and they still made it a great, fun experience for us.
Have you, you're from Pelham, New York, so you're a long way from Blacksburg, but have you gotten into the rivalry at all with Virginia Tech since you've been here?
Not really. I mean, as a team, I guess we think it's fun to, that it's like a fun rivalry, but before I came here, I obviously had nothing against them.
What's the biggest rivalry in swimming, at least on the women's side?
I mean, that's a great question. I don't know. I don't know if I can really answer that. I guess, like, as a team, like at UVA, I guess Virginia Tech would be our biggest rivals. But, like, nationally, I mean,
right,
it could be any of the top teams, really.
So you swam for a prominent club when you were growing up. But how is the dynamic different when you're competing for a college team and, you know, you're around those teammates every day? Is it a different dynamic?
Yeah, it definitely is a different dynamic, especially when you're, like, living with your teammates and you kind of do everything together. Then it's just a, like, more special feeling, I guess, to be able to practice with them and then compete with them. And it's also just swimming for the college team is definitely more about the team aspect and less about, like, the individual, which I feel like club swimming kind of focused on. So that's definitely been the biggest difference.
You are, you're only a second year, as I mentioned, but, you know, you've got, obviously you've accomplished a lot on the team already. Do you find yourself taking on more of a leadership role this season, you know, than you did last year, now that you've been through it once?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a different perspective to now be a second year and seeing the first years like struggle and be able to help them through it. It's definitely fun being able to help out the first years, I guess, learn their way.
What do you tell them? I mean, this is obviously a strange experience for everyone, you know, upperclassmen and second years included, but, you know, for the first years on the team, this is all they've ever known in college. What advice do you have for them, or how do you try to help them through this?
I mean, yeah, we've just been super helpful this year. Like, just anything they need, like, they can come to us. And we've told them that if they're struggling, like, we're all kind of in this together. So I think that's helped them a lot. And we have told them that this year is just, like, definitely not like any other. So, like, in the years to come, things are just going to keep on changing. And we're going to have their backs when it comes time.
What about for you? What's your college experience been like? I know this year is dramatically different than last year was. Have you been able to continue doing well in school the way you did last year?
Yeah, I mean, online classes are definitely different. I don't know if I would say I like them better. I can't wait to be back in person. I feel like it's just a different experience. But I mean, this year is, we still just like made the best of everything, like I said. And even though things are different, we're still able to have fun and swim fast. So it's been good.
There's so much isolation going on. Do you find yourself enjoying practice even more, kind of being with your teammates and being in a group? Because you don't get a lot of opportunities to be in a group, I would guess, day to day now.
Yeah, I guess we definitely have more opportunities than other people to be around a lot of people since we all practice together every day. But I mean, I also like live with my teammates and we're the only people that we see. So it's kind of just, it seems like pretty normal now that we just see each other all the time and at practice.
When I interviewed you last winter, at that time, I think you said you were considering a major in computer science. Mm-hmm. Is that still the plan or have you gone in
a
different direction?
No, I sort of changed my mind on that. Yeah, I'm thinking of leaning towards statistics now and like data science, kind of that route.
What interests you about that?
Well, I like the idea of data science because that's kind of a mix between computer science and statistics. I mean, I don't really know a lot about it yet, but I've always kind of been a more math person. So that's definitely what I'm leaning towards.
You did not get a chance to compete at the NCAA championships last season because COVID shut down college sports. Coming off the ACC meet that you'd had, how big a disappointment was that for you and for the whole team? Because Virginia was among the teams that was expected to contend for the NCAA title.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely just really disappointing because we had such a great ACC meet. We had so much momentum going into NCAAs and we really just knew that we could do something really special at that meet. So it was just very disappointing to get that kind of taken away from us, and especially taken away from the fourth years last year who wouldn't get another chance at that.
When the season did get shut down and the university switched to online classes in March, what did you do at that point? Did you go home? Did you go home to New York?
Yeah, I went home to New York, and none of the pools were open there. So I was out of the pool for probably around 2 months.
Really?
Yeah, just focusing on dry land training, because there were no options anywhere for me. So
is that the longest you'd been out of the water?
Oh, yeah,
in
definitely.
Probably
before that, it had
many
been
years.
Like, yeah, maybe like 2 weeks was the longest I'd taken off. So it was definitely stressful, I would say, because of that. Yeah.
Did you find there were any benefits when you did get back in the pool?
I definitely think it was good to take a break, because by the time I got back in the pool, I was kind of ready to get back into training, and I had more motivation to get back to where I was and continue to improve.
So I know I talked to Paige Madden, you know, after the pandemic hit, and I think she had access to an outdoor pool in Mobile. Were you checking in with your teammates, and did people have varying degrees of access depending on where they were?
Yeah, no, a bunch of people were able to find outdoor pools near them, and some people were traveling around to find other pools. So we were kind of all in contact, and it was kind of a different situation for all of us.
Well, there are advantages to being from the deep south as opposed to New York, I guess.
Yes,
in the winter.
It turned out that way.
You had numerous options during the recruiting process. Tell us how you ended up at UVA. I know your parents went to college. Both of them went to college in this state, right?
Yeah, they both went to college in Virginia.
So your dad at Hampton Sydney and your mom at Sweetbriar?
Yes, that is correct.
So did they give Coach DeSorbo an assist in recruiting? Did they nudge you in this direction?
Yeah, I remember when I first started to look at colleges, they told me to look at UVA, and I had never really thought much about it. But so then it was the first school I looked at, and I kind of just fell in love with it and couldn't really imagine myself going to school anywhere else.
What are your individual goals for this season, you know, for the immediate future and then long term in the sport? Obviously you're on a very fast track, you know, as an elite swimmer.
Yeah, I mean, I guess right now I'm trying not to set like too many goals or expectations, because I don't know what meets are going to happen for sure or anything. So kind of just trying to have fun and continue training hard with my teammates and just see what happens without overthinking everything.
What about for the team? The team, you know, both men's and women's programs have great traditions and have won a ton of ACC titles between them. You know, neither has won an NCAA team championship. The women, when you're ranked number two, you're in that conversation. Is that something you articulate among yourselves a lot, or you just figure if you keep working, it'll take care of itself?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a team goal of ours now for 2 years has been to win an NCAA championship. And I think before last year, that was never really discussed like seriously, but now it's definitely known among all of us that that is what we want to do. And that's something that I want to do in my time here.
So the next step in the process in terms of competition this weekend, you're on the road for two ACC meets. You swim Friday at North Carolina and Saturday at NC State. UNC is ranked number 18 nationally, and State is fourth. I know you talked about the rivalry with Virginia Tech, but given Coach DeSorbo's ties to NC State, is that a pretty big one, and how good those programs have been?
Yeah, I definitely think NC State is a pretty big rival with us too, just because of because Todd used to coach there, and because they are ranked pretty highly, and they're definitely a really good competition for us. So we're going to have to bring our A game if we're going to be able to compete with them.
I mean, I don't think there are quite as many actual meets this school year as there are in a typical year. Because of that, do you find yourself, are you any more excited or fired up when you do get a chance to compete?
Yeah, definitely. Any chance we get now to compete is exciting. So we're not going to take that for granted, and we're just going to enjoy the moment and enjoy racing each other.
Well, good. Well, good luck. Good luck on the road down in Carolina this weekend, and good luck the rest of the season, and knock on wood, all the way through NCAAs this time.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Don't go anywhere, because next up we'll be talking UVA hoops with a player who's shooting about as well as anyone in the country.
Hi, this is Dave Kane, the voice of the Cavaliers. With my busy schedule, the best way I've found to keep up with Virginia Athletics scores, news, and fan contests is the UVA Sports app. You can pick your sports preferences and never miss a final score or breaking news. You can also listen to all of our Coach's Corner shows live on the app. Just go to the Apple Store or Google Play and search for Virginia Sports or UVA Sports. Join the more than 30,000 Wahoo fans who are already using the UVA Sports app.
Okay, joining the show now is Trey Murphy III from the men's basketball team. Trey, thanks for sharing a few minutes with us. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
So for listeners who may not be familiar with your background, you spent 2 years at Rice University before transferring to UVA this past summer. You arrived here in the middle of a pandemic, which is still going on. Probably fair to say you have not had the normal college experience in Charlottesville yet. What have these past seven or so months been like for you?
I mean, yeah, it's a little different because of COVID, but I think it's brought me closer to my teammates, and I really enjoy it here, and I love the basketball aspect of it. And then the fans are really supportive, and it's been really nice just going around Charlottesville and people be like, oh, like you're on the basketball team, like you're a transfer. Like, it's cool, like being in a place where they really care about basketball. And so I really enjoy that a lot.
And I mean, you haven't even experienced like the full normal game day at JPJ yet. So hopefully that day is coming for you soon. Have you taken any in-person classes yet?
No, we're all online. And I think they want to keep us away from a lot of people. And so they're trying to make sure our bubble is safe.
Okay. So do you know your way around grounds at all? Could you take me to the rotunda if we met in JPJ right now?
I actually could. Yeah, I actually could. I have a decent grasp of campus because, I mean, I've been driving around. But, yeah.
So what's a typical day for you like? Typical school day? You're not going to classes. So I know you're not. But, like, when the semester starts, what's a typical day like for you that involves classes?
Well, depending on the day, I mean, we might have a lift in the morning before class. And then we'll have class. And then practice, and then that's it. You don't really do anything else. All you're doing is your schoolwork and basketball.
You live in with anybody on the team?
I live with Justin McCoy.
Yeah. So what the team has won 5 in a row since that loss to Gonzaga on the day after Christmas, now up to number 13 in the polls. What's changed since the Gonzaga game, in your opinion?
I mean, I think the Gonzaga game really humbled us, as well as just made us realize what we really need to work on. And I feel like we got to work back on the defensive end. And that's what's really separated us in a lot of these games. Like, we put together a lot of good halves, but I think our best, like, complete game was definitely the last Clemson game, like, defensively. And so we're really just trying to keep building on that so we can become a really good defensive team, as well as have, like, the offensive tools that we have.
I mean, the Clemson game, it was pretty much a highlight from start to finish, but there was that stretch at the beginning of the second half where the team made 9 3-pointers in a row. I know you were out there for that. What was it like to be part of that? Had you been part of anything like that as a college player?
The closest thing was definitely like the Towson game, but I mean, it's still different though, especially when it's supposed to be the number one defensive team in the country. And you're out there just moving the ball, sharing the ball, and you're hitting threes like that. It's a really good feeling. And, I mean, I know it was really fun to be out there.
So this is the second time that you have been one of the new guys in a college program. How is joining a program as an upperclassman different than joining a program as a freshman the way you did at Rice? Is there a greater comfort level this time around?
Yeah, it's a little different. And, I mean, it also comes with the team as well. I mean, the guys were really accepting of me, and I was able to, like, really become friends and, like, brothers of those guys, like, within the first week. And so that was easy. But, I mean, basketball-wise, I mean, I know a little bit more because I am older. And so it's easier for me to, like, transition to the team on the basketball court because Like, I'm able to teach like younger guys stuff, and I'm able to just like, I just know my way around college basketball. So it's a little bit easier as an upperclassman, obviously. So
did you have any concerns or doubts about how you might be accepted, you know, by a team, you know, coming here?
Not really. It's because I'm pretty outgoing, I would say. And so like, there's a little bit of like doubt where I'm just like, all right, maybe they won't. But for the most part, it's just like, man, I'm just making friends, and that's just something I'm good at doing. So
Coach Bennett is putting players into the NBA, you know, almost on an annual basis now. Did that factor into your decision to come to Virginia? Because I know you have aspirations of playing at the next level.
I mean, yeah, it's part of it for sure. I mean, looking at guys like Dre, Ty, Kyle, Malcolm, and those guys, you see like he's done it before, and like he's put those guys in position, and you can see how they're playing now, and they're playing great. And that's just where I want to be. And so it was definitely something where I was like, all right, well, I've seen he's done it, especially with Dre, and he was a really big like part of it, because I could see parts of my game in Dre. So that was really, really influential as well.
So you had some familiarity with the UVA program from back in your high school days. What do you remember about the initial contact with Virginia? You know, the recruitment, was it mostly through Coach Williford at that point?
Yeah, it was only through Coach Williford. I didn't hear from Coach Bennett. I didn't make it to that state.
Well, how far did it go the first time around?
Coach Williford, he came to a workout at my school, and I guess he liked what he saw, and he came to one of my games. And actually, that game that he came to, I hit like 7 threes or something like that. But I was still really frail. I wasn't doing much off the dribble. So he was just like, yeah, it's probably like, I just don't have the physicality yet. And so I was like, I mean, I guess I understand. But then came around 2 years later, and now I'm 6'9" and a lot bigger. So I guess I got the physicality.
Yeah, when I wrote a story on you and the other incoming new guys back in April, I talked to Jason about that, and he gave me a quote. He said you were 6'5", probably 155 pounds at that point when he saw you. He thought you could really shoot, but he didn't think you were physical enough at that point to play in the ACC. Tell us about your growth spurt, which has been dramatic. I think you told me back in the spring that when you were a high school freshman, you were 5'8". Now you're 6'9". What were the stops along the way from 5'8 to 6'9"?
So it was like about the same amount of growth each year. And so I was like, I went to 5'8", and then I went to 6 feet probably, and then 6'3", and then 6'5". And then when I got to college, I was around like 6'7", and now I'm around like 6'9".
So the big question, are you done?
I mean, my last I had an x-ray actually like last February or so, or last April, and they said my growth plates are still open. So I might be growing some more.
Did you go through any awkward phases with that growth where you kind of had to grow into your body, or was it kind of gradual enough that you could adjust at each step?
I mean, I still feel like I'm growing into my body. There's different Bambi moments that I have, but I mean, I think it's less now because of MC and like the work that we've done. He's making me a lot more coordinated, but definitely growing up, it was a lot of Bambi moments.
What about your weight? If you were 155 when Jay Willie saw you in high school, you're bigger than that now. You're probably not as big as you're going to be eventually, but what do you weigh these days?
I'm around like 205. Yeah, 205.
What's the target weight with Mike Curtis?
He gave me like a target weight of 215, but like he doesn't really stress it that much. He just wants me to be a strong athlete, and whatever weight that puts me at, that's what he wants.
Your father, Kenneth Murphy, played basketball at East Carolina. How tall is your dad, and how old were you when you beat him in one-on-one for the first time? Assuming you have beaten him.
Well, he's 6'3", and I cannot say that I beat my dad in one-on-one because we haven't played in a very long time. But
Is he ducking? Is he ducking you, or do you just not have?
100% He will not play me anymore.
On the eve of the season, you found out that the NCAA had granted you immediate eligibility. Would it be tough to be dealing with the pandemic and everything that goes with it if you weren't playing right now? Has it made it easier knowing you kind of have that carrot out there?
100%
Yeah.
Yeah, 100% I mean, I know there were three games last year at Rice where I was hurt and I was on the bench watching. And, like, I was trying to be a good teammate and all that. But it's just really hard just watching your team out there. And especially in games where you see your team struggling, just put the ball in the basket and you're like, dang, like, I wish I was out there because I know that's something I can really do. And I'm just really glad and thankful for the NCAA to grant my waiver. So, yeah.
Well, for the guys who have redshirted here in years past, that's given them an opportunity to work extensively with Coach Curtis. Probably a little harder to do it in season when you're playing. How much has he been able to kind of change your body and your workout regimen while you're still playing?
Well, MC, I'm going to say, is best in the game, easy. And he's done a lot for me. And I noticed a big difference from, like, when I first got here to now. And just the, like, my flexibility, like, me being really sturdy and, like, being able to slide wide on defense has all been MC. And he's just made me a lot stronger. And it doesn't really – I haven't really gained a ton of weight, but I still have gained some. But I've become a lot stronger. And I think that's really, really important.
You were not really known as a defensive stopper at Rice. What's the transition to the pack line been like for you?
It was a little difficult at first, but I mean, really, it's all about pride. And if, like, you want to stop somebody. And so, and I know I didn't want to be a defensive liability because I know I wouldn't play. And so I was like, well, let me play some defense now.
You are shooting absolutely lights out this season. You're 52% from 3-point range, 55% overall. Has the transition at that end of the court been smoother than you expected?
I mean, a little bit, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's just playing basketball. And I mean, that's just something I've been doing for my entire life, basically. And I've gotten a lot better skill development wise as well, because we've been working on the jump shots and working on dribbling and all that stuff. And the skill development here is fantastic.
You finish well around the basket too. Is it important for you not to be considered a one-dimensional guy, a guy who just shoots jump shots?
Yeah, very. No, it's very important. I mean, I feel like there's still a lot more opportunities for me to get to the basket and, like, play off my jump shot, because I know, like, since I'm shooting the ball at a high clip, people are going to be running at me. And so I can pump fake and get around them. And so that's the thing I need to use as a weapon.
Had you declared a major at Rice before you transferred?
Yeah. Oh, actually, no. I was about to declare, but then right when I was about to declare, I was transferring. So there was no point in me declaring a major.
What about here? Have you done so already?
Yes, yeah, so I'll be declaring sociology.
Okay. You were born and raised in Durham, North Carolina. So I got to ask, did you grow up rooting for one of the ACC teams down there?
I was a UNC fan.
UNC?
Yeah, I mean, my mom graduated from UNC, so that was the reason why. I mean, if I was any other fan, I'd probably get kicked out of the house. So,
have your parents been coming to the games?
They come to every home game.
Is it weird for your mom putting on, assuming she puts on UVA gear?
Nah, she supports me, so that's the main thing.
So there's a big contingent of players from North Carolina on this UVA team, with you, Jay Huff, Justin McCoy, who's your roommate, Caden Shedrick, and Carson McCorkle. Did you know any of those guys before you met them in Charlottesville, or, you know, talk to them?
The one I knew the most is definitely Justin, and Carson a little bit, and Caden, like, a little bit. But I didn't really know Jay like that because, I mean, he's a little old.
Does your school play Jay in basketball? Not that you would have played him in basketball, but Cary Academy doesn't play Voyager?
We never did, no.
So this, you're going to major in sociology. This is a turbulent time in the United States, and not only because of the pandemic, do you pay much attention to social justice issues? You know, you mentioned Malcolm Brogdon. He's one of the NBA players who's really moved to the forefront of that movement.
I pay heavy attention to it, and I try to use my platform in order to speak out on social injustice because it's such an important thing. And if you're silent in this time, like, you're just not being helpful, you're almost being ignorant, and we need to make change in this world. So I definitely feel like it's important to speak up about this type of stuff.
Good. Well, I'll close with a lighter question for you. Johnny Carpenter tells me that you and Kihei and Chase Coleman are quote unquote super into fashion.
Yeah, for sure.
What exactly does that entail? Do you guys dress up like Russell Westbrook and LeBron do before their games?
The last two home games, actually, we have been dressing up a little bit. So, I mean, it's just something fun to do. I mean, we don't really go out. I mean, we don't go out at all because of COVID. Right. So there is no dressing up. And the only time you really can dress up, I guess, is for game day or whenever you want to. So we take those times just to show off a little bit.
Well, good. Well, hopefully you'll be able to get out of town sometime soon and show off there. But the next chance to see you and your teammates play comes Saturday night when Virginia takes on Georgia Tech at JPJ. Everything, obviously, in this crazy season is subject to change, but we're all hoping that game goes off as scheduled. In the meantime, thanks again for joining us on Zoom, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
All right, take care, Jay.
All right, you do the same.
All right, that's a wrap for this week. Thanks again to Trey and Kate for sharing their time and insight. As always, we encourage you to subscribe to the podcast and to provide a rating. You can find previous episodes by searching your favorite podcast provider for Wahoo Central Podcast. Last time out, Steve Garland brought us up to speed on UVA wrestling, and Justin Anderson broke down the recruiting strategy of Bronco Mendenhall and his staff. For more information on UVA athletics, visit our official website, virginiasports.com. My stories are archived there under the content button on the front page. You can also follow me on Twitter at @JeffWhiteUVA. If you haven't done so already, download the UVA Sports app from the Apple Store or Google Play. The app has more than 30,000 subscribers, and it offers something for everyone who follows UVA Sports. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon with another episode.